And from our gospel this morning, from Luke, chapter 6, verses 20 through 31. This section is from Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, not Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, it's the Sermon on the Plain. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you, listen. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to anyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord. When I was a kid, some of you know I may have said I grew up in the Navy. My dad was a career naval officer, a chaplain. And one of the things I looked forward to in the many chapels and various places we lived was at Sunday school, we got this comic. If we attended, at the end of Sunday school, we'd get this little Armed Forces little magazine in a comic form. And they always had a serial story of some great Catholic saint. I mean, it was full of, they left nothing out, you know, people being burned and stabbed and martyred and hung. And I mean, it was, we all just loved it. And then they had modern stories of kind of, you know, martyrs for the faith. I guess the military kids, this is, they were training us. But, you know, I began to believe that what a saint was that someone who just was truly, you know, a martyr who had to die a horrible, terrible death at the hands of, you know, evil people to be called a saint. But then as I grew up, I understood that that's not the only way to understand sainthood. The Greek word for saint is hagios, and it's usually translated, that word, as saint. In biblical Greek, this is what it actually means: one who is set apart for God's use. Our passage from Ephesians says that saints are set apart for God's use and called to live in God's kingdom, both now and in the future. In an old book, St. George and the Dragon, Edward Hayes describes how the, you know, the saint, the abbreviation is ST period. He says that ST period refers to sent rather than saint, implying that all Christians are part of the sainthood of God. Clever. This is a wonderful little story I've heard. Once a child was asked, "What is a saint?" And the child replied, looking at the saints in the church's stained glass windows, which yours don't have sun coming through now. And he said, "A saint is someone through whom God's light shines through." Can you imagine that, looking at a window and seeing the saint and the light shining through in beautiful colors? In a video about Mother Teresa of India, a reporter asks her about being called a saint. And she says, "Yes, but that's what you are called to be too. We are all saints." And then she says, "We can do no great things, only small things with love." Now I want you to think about someone you know who's a saint. You don't even jot that name down on your bulletin. Paul prays for an extraordinary gift in our passage from Ephesians that Walter read. He calls God's blessings on the saints in Ephesus, that, quote, "God may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that," I love this phrase, "with the eyes of your heart enlightened," with the eyes of your heart enlightened, "you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints." I think that one of the great characteristics of saints is that we, are gifted with seeing the world and others and life with the eyes of our hearts enlightened. Saints see everything around them with new eyes, enlightened by hearts opened by God. It does not mean that saints do everything perfectly or right all the time. It does mean that everyday saints see things with new priorities, with new lenses. They question what they used to take for granted. They examine their life in the light of a heart enlightened by God. It may be that we, who I believe are also saints, begin to see the halo on others, as well as dare to see the halo on us when we look at ourselves in the mirror. It may mean that with the eyes of our hearts enlightened, we examine the world's definitions of what is good or right or successful and judge them with new criteria. Jesus is offering us new criteria in our passage in Luke. In this part of the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus turns to the world of his disciples upside down. And it's important to know that in Greek and Roman culture of that time, there was a huge divide between the rich and the poor, and it was rarely to be crossed. I mean, that's, as we've known, becoming wider in our culture too. But theirs was extreme. And to be poor was not to be blessed. Then to make matters worse, Jesus redefines how to relate to enemies. "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Do to others as you would have them do to you." They're hard words for us today, especially in this community, in light of the abuses of white power and privilege that have killed and brutalized so many African Americans. As I've said, saints are not perfect. Saints by nature, however, do ask hard questions and do not accept the status quo. Saints see the world with enlightened hearts and know that to live a life of love, one must make choices and sacrifices that are hard. Bishop Fulton Sheen, popular writer of another generation, said, "Love is the giving of self, and as long as we have a body and are working out our salvation, it will always be synonymous with sacrifice in the Christian sense of the word. Love sacrifices naturally, just as the eye sees and the ear hears. That is why we speak of arrows and darts of love, something that wounds. The bridegroom who loves will not give to his bride a ring of tin or brass, but one of gold or platinum, because the gold or platinum ring represents sacrifice. It costs something." And we heard a bit of that in Frank's Stewardship message this morning. Stewardship calls us to make sacrifices. It costs us something to invest in our faith. The mother who sits up all night nursing her sick child does not call it hardship, but love. How do we love our enemies today? I don't have all the easy answers, but I do know that as saints, we are compelled to keep asking that question and to struggle with the options. At the very least, we do not profile and discriminate against people that appear to be different from us. Those of us who are white must constantly check ourselves against the forces of institutional racism and white privilege. All of us support attempts to stop abuses by police, schools, and economic and political systems that perpetuate poverty and injustice. Dr. Martin Marty, a church historian and author, retells a parable about a saint struggling with a non-worldly way of being. A holy man was engaged in his morning meditation under a tree whose roots stretched out over the riverbank. During his meditation, he noticed that the river was rising and a scorpion was caught in its roots and was about to drown. The holy man crawled out on the roots and reached down to free the scorpion, but every time he did so, the scorpion struck him back. An observer came along and said to the holy man, "Don't you know that's a scorpion? And it's in the nature of the scorpion to want to sting?" To which the holy man replied, "That may well be, but it is in my nature to save. Must I change my nature because the scorpion does not change its nature?" There have been many examples in the past months of saints performing acts of compassion and courage and love that take us beyond our human nature to the divine. African Americans who have spoken boldly for justice for those who have been killed by police. Members of FAST who confront our public officials to get affordable housing, equal treatment for children in public schools, and mental health services for the poor. Christians in Eastern Europe who have gone against their political leaders to offer comfort and support for refugees from Syria and Africa. As Mother Teresa said, we can do no great things, only small things with great love. And that is what saints do. This morning, as we celebrate communion around the Lord's table, with all the saints of this community and with those who have gone before us, our flowers remind us of the saints, all of them imperfect, like us, who struggle to see the world with the eyes of their hearts enlightened and to follow in Jesus' instruction to do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, if you were going to write down another name of a saint on your bulletin, I hope that you will write your name there. As saints, we continue to try to see the halo on ourselves and on others as children of God, beloved, precious, each one. Following imperfectly, the difficult road of loving others, even strangers and enemies. Let us pray. God, it's hard work being saints. Sometimes we have to stand up to injustice. Sometimes we have to love people that are not very lovable. But it's only because you have given us the power to see others with the eyes of our heart enlightened, to know that each of us is beloved by you. Give us the courage, the wisdom, and strength to follow in your footsteps as one of your saints here on earth. In your name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is from the Tan Hymnal 191, "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder."